Hey. Hello. What up? How are you guys doing? So I'm going to make an announcement, and what I'm going to say tonight has nothing to do with that, but you will have time to respond to the announcement at the end. Kat and I are, this is our last service here at Hope. And so we are going to move to Kansas City months or ish, and we'll be planting a church there in Kansas City. So that's pretty cool. And we'll also be having another baby. So that's cool. So that's awesome. But Aaron told me to, I thought I was going to talk about something else, but Aaron told me to talk about what I wanted to leave you with. And when I asked the Lord, he brought this story that's part of my life up. And then I was like, well, that's just a story. And then he gave me someone else that goes right along with my story. So I'm going to start this story long ago with my grandpa. So my grandpa, my great-grandparents were like Pentecostal, but they were like tried to beat my grandpa into believing, which didn't work out. He ended up being very not Christian. He was crazy and was crazy alcoholic and stuff. And when he was young, he got in a fight in front of a 7-Eleven. A guy tried to stab him. He took the knife away and stabbed that guy. And when he went in front of the judge, he said, "You can go to Vietnam or you can go to jail." And so he said, "I'll go to Vietnam." And so he did two tours in Vietnam. He came back, married my grandma. My grandma and him did not have the best of marriages. He would go out and drink until 2 or 3 in the morning, and then he would come home and go to sleep and wake up and work from 6 in the morning to 5 at night and go out and drink, and this was the cycle continuously. He was a pretty tough dude, a pretty crazy dude, and one night he was driving home from the bar at 2 in the morning, and he ran into a tree, flew out his windshield, and his neck and back broke. And he felt, he said, how he describes it is that he felt darkness coming in to take his soul. And he cried out and he said, "Jesus, if you let me live, I will serve every day for the rest of my life for you." And so he was instantly back in his body with the most pain he's ever felt in his life. And my dad describes it as he walked into Gainesville Hospital and he could hear his dad screaming on the other side of the hospital. And he said he never even heard his dad like anything. His dad was like the toughest dude. And so my grandpa he never smoked another cigarette, never had another drink. He spent every moment of his life from that day on, every time the church doors were open, he was there. Well, my grandpa died when I was 3. And my dad and mom were pretty crazy into drugs and stuff. And so it's kind of what I grew up in when I was young until my dad went to prison. And somewhere, God has just always been really good to me, and his spirit has been with me, and he showed me his Holy Spirit, and when I was 8 years old, I felt his Holy Spirit on me. I felt him wrap his arms around me, and since that day, I've been walking with him. And my grandpa left me a Bible, and in that Bible, it had some stamps from James Dean. And on the back side of the stamps was top of a cardboard cigar box. And I was showing my friend, who's not a believer, and these stamps. I was like, "This is really cool. It's for my grandpa or whatever. He's dead." And he was like, "It's like he left that in there for you." And that always stuck with me. And I did not know why. Well, long story short, the Bible went missing with the stamps and the cardboard. But that always stuck in my mind. And then this year, I watched... The stickers with James Dean were from a movie called Rebel Without a Cause from the 50s. And so I watched that movie this year, and God unloaded on me. So in this movie, Rebel Without a Cause, James Dean plays a guy named Jim Stark. Well, Jim Stark doesn't really fit in anywhere. He's moved from school to school to school to school because he gets in trouble everywhere. And when he gets to where he's at currently in this school, he can't, he doesn't fit in with the good people, and he doesn't fit in with the bad people. Like, he doesn't have a crowd. Like, there's nowhere that he fits in. And so I'm watching this with the Lord, and I'm like, okay, so, like, what's the point? And at the end, at the end of the movie, the only guy that wanted to be his friend went crazy and was, like, stuck in this building, and the cops were, like, coming to kill him because he had a gun because he got in a fight with his gang. So long story short, his only friend, he was able, at the end, he gets a cause, because the movie's called Rebel Without a Cause. So he's rebellious against everything. James Dean. Okay. And long story short, he's able to rebel against the police force that's out there. He's able to rebel against everything because it's the life that he is used to, so that he can save his friend who's going to be killed. So he puts his life on the line for a righteous cause, for a good cause. And so, but it was because of who he was, because of the rebel that was inside of him that allowed him to do that. So I asked God, I said, God, what is the cause? What are you telling me is the cause for us? Like, what are you saying here? And he said, the back of the cigar box. And on the back of the cigar box was a bush, and it was on fire. Well, the day before, my daughter had been watching The Prince of Egypt, and as you know, that's when Moses meets God in fire. That's when he has an encounter. He says encounter. He said, you must rebel against everything that comes against encounter. Your encounter with God, going deeper, but also other people's encounter of God. You have to rebel against that. And so God gave me that story to tell. And I was like, well, that's a story of mine to tell. That I feel like that's something I carry in me, is just this rebel with a cause. And God told me this on Tuesday after I said yes to him. We're going to go to Hebrews 11, 24 and 27. And it's about Moses. And it says, I don't know if they have it, but by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, left Egypt, not fearing the anger of the king, and persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Okay, so basically, he was picked up out of a basket with Pharaoh's parents. So he was could have lived the life as a son of a king, have everything he ever wanted. But when he found out that they worship pagan God, when he came of age, it says, when he became of age, he didn't want to enjoy their pleasures. He didn't want to live that way because his people were being hurt. His people were being accused. And so what he did is he left the palace and went to live with these people. But the thing was, he didn't fit there either. See, because he had grown up in the house of a king with every liberty. But then when he went to live with the people, his own people, he didn't understand them. They didn't click because they had been slaves for over 400 years. So he has nowhere to belong. So what it creates is this friction. And what I feel like God's calling me to carry is this rebel thing where you feel like you don't fit in anywhere. You don't fit in with your people. You don't fit in with your parents. And there's this angst and stuff inside of you. And see, Satan doesn't create feelings. We know that Satan doesn't, he's not a creator. But what does he do? He perverts that which has already been created. So if there's this rebellious thing in the earth, it's always looked for as negative. It's kind of like sex in today's culture. It's always looked as negative. It's always looked as negative. But what I want to present to you today is that there is a positive, godly thing in that. And if you can release it into God's calling, you can bring something new into the earth like Moses did. Wow. So two things the enemy will try to do with this rebellious thing. He'll either try to get you to use it for evil. Moses killed a guy. Not good. Or he'll try to grind it out of you and get you to be normal and fit in, even if you're uncomfortable. Those are the two things, the two options. He's either going to take that thing, because if it's too strong, then he'll just use it for his evil. But he's going to try to grind you down to where you'll fit in. Well, so Moses kills a guy. He flees into Egypt, or out of Egypt, excuse me. And he meets this guy named Jethro. Well, he marries his daughter and stuff, all that jazz. And he becomes a shepherd. And so he's leading these sheep. And now, if you guys grab your Bibles and go to Exodus 3, verse 2. We'll start in verse 2, go to verse 4. So he's shepherding sheep and all that, you know what they do. And Tell me when you're there. This is really cool, guys. Because I got this all, like, this thing happened to me. Like, that story that I told you happened to me. It's like my story. And then God was like, on Tuesday, he was like, it's like Moses. And I went and read these scriptures, and I was like, what in the world, Lord God? He is so good. Man, what can you do? So everybody, yay, okay. Exodus 3:2. So it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of a fire in the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said out loud to himself, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is burning, yet not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses, and said, here am I. So what I want to draw your attention to is usually people don't talk out loud to themselves, so this is actually probably not what happened. The Holy Spirit, when he was inspired, to write this about Moses, it is a decision that Moses made in his heart. And when he made that decision, so he's leading these sheep. Probably Jethro lived there, his family probably lived in this wilderness for hundreds of years. And they've been taking the sheep back and forth on the same path for hundreds of years. And a lot of scholars say that the burning bush was probably seen by maybe other shepherds. Because when you leave the path, when you have a job to do that you do regularly, when you leave the path, it's not like, oh, I can just go over there and look and I can come back. See, what you're doing is you're subjecting your entire flock to wolves at night because you're going to be coming back later. In the cover of darkness, there may be raiders that come and take your sheep. So this was not a thing. But since he had this rebel thing in him from when he was a kid where he had nowhere he belonged, he wasn't used to walking the track that everybody had made for him. He wasn't used to following the path that was laid before him. And when he saw something peculiar, when he saw something of God, he said, I will stop and turn aside. I will stop. And God says, because he turned aside. And when you look up this phrase, I looked it up. It's so good. It literally means one of the definitions of this word in Hebrew, it's a primitive root word, is to depart from the way. He departed from the way that everybody took, and God said, because you departed from that way. See, what happens when the rebel encounters, what happens when you don't belong anywhere and you encounter God, you find your home. Moses found his home. He found where he belonged. But had he allowed that thing to be killed out of him, had he allowed that rebel thing to be either removed completely or had he used it completely for evil, he would have never turned aside. But since he turned aside to go see the Lord, he stopped himself, walked off, because you're called, see, whenever you have this rebel thing, you're called to birth something new in the planet. Because he couldn't go the way of Pharaoh because they had a kingdom. And he couldn't go the way of slavery because they had slavery. God wanted to create a new pathway. He wanted to create a new pathway, and there's only one way to do that. There's no road where Moses is going. There's no road where you're going. Let me tell you, you may share a name with another person in this planet, but nobody shares your calling, nobody shares your identity, nobody shares your purpose, and nobody shares the thing that you're carrying to the world. There may have been other Moseses in his day, but he was the only Moses that would deliver his people. Man. So when he gets home, Moses finds his home. It's the encounter with Jesus. It's encounter with God. And see what God does when you find your home and you find the place where you're comfortable. He's able prune you. He's able to cultivate that rebellion thing, and he's able to send you. He's able to send you to create a new work. Because you will no longer be susceptible to what other people think, and you'll finally find out that you do have a place to belong, and where you feel like most comfortable is in the arms of your Father, and the only thing that you're caring about is pleasing him. That's the only thing you care about, because there is no path where you're going. There's no one in front of you. So you have to continually get in that place of encounter so that he can turn that energy, that angst towards the enemy so it can be a righteous tool in the Father's hands. This is my story. And I had no idea this was Moses' story too. So the encounter didn't stop there. If you continue to read, Moses delivers his people. He takes them out. As you know, they had stayed in the wilderness for 40 years. If you don't know that, they were supposed to take, like, I don't know how many days the journey was supposed to be, but it's supposed to be days, and they stayed there for years. Well, Moses continually met with God. He continually went to be with his father. He continually went home to the top of the mountain to be with God because that was his home. That's where, that's the system. See, he created the Jewish law that would bring the system which brought the encounter, the ultimate encounter. The encounter's name is Jesus. If it was not for Moses and his rebellion, if it was not for Moses leaving his path, not following what everybody else had done, but being his own unique self and listening to God, there wouldn't have been a pathway for the encounter to come. God would have had to use some other way. But Jesus came. Man. So, I like to talk. This is my favorite Old Testament chapter. It is Isaiah 53. It is a prophecy of Jesus. And the coolest thing about this prophecy of Jesus, well, other than the fact that God wrote it, inspired by the Holy Spirit, other than that, I identify with this so much, just like I feel like Moses would. Probably Isaiah. If you look at everybody in the Bible, they do not fit in where they are at. Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. Didn't fit in? I don't know. Glad to live in a foreign land? I mean, the prophets, most of the prophets, all the other prophets were like, no, you're not a prophet. But they're the ones that made it in the Bible. So it doesn't make sense to me that the actual encounter, whose name is Jesus, would come, and he would come in the same way that he sent his prophets. And so in Isaiah 53, I'm just going to read a couple verses, and I'm going to probably skip down a little bit. For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him. He had no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. This just describes the Savior of the world as being despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Have you ever just not looked at someone because they were just so, like, didn't belong there? This was Jesus. Do you feel like people don't want to look at you, that you're being ignored, that you don't fit in? That was Jesus. It also says that he came to his people and they knew him not. They were waiting for this guy. Guys, the fire in the bush isn't going to look. See, people passed it by because it didn't look spectacular. People passed it by because it wasn't worth their time. People passed the bush by because it was inconvenient. Because they didn't know if they would find their way back. Because something happens at the bush that ruins you. Something happens at the bush that you can never go back to the path. You can never go back to the same way things were before. So, I think I went pretty fast, and I think God really helped me, because I thought this was going to take a long time, but I'm getting down to the end. I want to ask you today, what is God calling you to rebel against? I want you to ask yourself today, if you feel like you do not belong, if it feels like your skin is crawling, could it be that you do have a home and that you do have a place to belong, but that thing is not to be taken out of you? So sometimes this world is going to come against you. It's going to tell you, it's going to come against you. It doesn't like the fact that you don't want to fit in. And sometimes that even happens at church. Let me tell you, growing up, I knew that I knew the Lord. In church, I knew, I felt the living God in my body. You can't argue that out of me. But for some reason, He's always been with me. He's always been with me. And I just didn't fit in. I didn't fit in at church. You had the people that were whatever and the other people who didn't care. And I was someone who experienced God but didn't fit in with the good crowd because I wasn't doing good things, but I didn't understand it because I wasn't taught my identity. So I want you guys to know your identity. I want to ask you guys what are you rebelling against? What are you called to rebel against? What are you called to create in the world? If you feel like you don't belong anywhere, maybe it's because there's not a road for you yet. If you feel like uncomfortable in your skin, maybe it's because there's no path that's been made already for you. But if you get along with God, He will show you, He will walk with you into the road that you're called to. You're called to birth a new thing in the planet. You're called to birth a new thing. And so I just want to commission you guys today. I want to give you guys permission. And after I do that, Aaron's going to come up and talk a little. So if you guys would just pray with me. Abba, Father, thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, I thank you that you came not looking like everybody else, that you were despised and rejected, so that you would be acquainted with every one of our troubles. God, and I pray that every person that doesn't feel at home with you would experience an encounter with you and your peace, that they would find their home and they would find their cause, that every rebel in this room would find their cause, God. God, I just ask that everyone in this room would come to you and you would heal every one of their wounds, that you would show them a Jesus that got down on their level, that understood their anger, that understood their sorrow, that understood their pain, didn't just understand it, but lived a deeper form of it, and then gave them their righteousness for every time we failed. Will you give these rebels their cause? Will you give them their home, God? I just pray that we have an encounter with your peace in a way that allows them to go back into deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper encounters and continues to fuel the fire of the bush and the man that will not be burned. There's a story in the Old Testament where three guys are going to get burned for worshiping God, and they go in the fire and they don't get burned and they don't even smell like smoke. When you find your home, rebels, when you find your home, the fires of this world are going to try to burn it out of you, but you're not even going to smell like smoke. And that fire is going to be directed to change nations. It's going to be directed to change people. It's going to be directed to be a porthole for encounter for other people. Because the people on the outside of the furnace died throwing them in.